In the name of God, holy and of the divine Trinity. Amen. Will our gospel and first reading from Acts today give us a rare opportunity? That's the opportunity to think about both St. Peter and St. Paul, the pillars of the church. Peter, the rock of the church, and Paul, the sword of the Spirit. Petrus and Spiritus Gladius, the face of Roman Catholicism and the face of Protestantism, both leaders of the church. Both of them threw over a settled life for a peripatetic adventure that will end in martyrdom, just like the one they followed. Both were probably rather difficult to live with. Peter, the changeable, enthusiastic, so in over his head, asking the dumb questions that everyone else is probably thinking. And Paul, who's not always right, but never in doubt. Peter and Paul, by tradition, both of them martyred at Rome. Neither of their deaths, by the way, is recorded in our canonical scripture, but they're into that. The early tradition in the non-canonical book, the Acts of Peter, has it that Peter was crucified upside down by his own request. His martyrdom is believed to have taken place after the great fire in Rome in 64 AD, which Christians were blamed for. And that he was martyred is testified to by St. Clement in his letter to Corinthians in about 98 AD. Tradition has it he was buried in the place where St. Peter's Basilica now stands, and there's actually some archaeological support for that. St. Paul's believed to have been martyred as well in the same time frame. As a Roman citizen, he would have been beheaded with a sword. Rank, after all, hath privilege. The church in all its majesty built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, like Peter and Paul. Really, Peter and Paul. A screw-up like Peter, who denied Jesus, and Saul, Paul, the guy who was holding the clothes and egging everybody on when they stoned St. Stephen, the guy who was persecuting Christians. Weren't there better candidates? More deserving candidates? People who didn't take other people off like Paul probably did? People who shut up when they didn't understand something and didn't ask dumb questions or made rash statements like Peter? Gospel today is kind of dreamlike. After Jesus feeds his disciples that breakfast of fish, and by the way, I wonder why Easter breakfasts are always eggs and not fish. You know, should be fish. But these abundant fish, excessive fish, it's actually about a gross too many fish in a net for the people who are there. Fish, reminding everybody of the 5,000 who were fed with a couple of fish and a few loaves. After breakfast, the others' presence sort of fade into the background. And Jesus addresses Peter rather formally, calls him Simon, son of John. Do you love me more than these? It's actually the first time since the arrest that Jesus and Peter have spoken. And in between them in that place lies this great big lump of, oh, I'm not one of his followers. A huge hunk of whatever it is, guilt, whatever. It can't be undone, it can't be made, it didn't happen. It's the elephant in the living room. One can imagine Peter swallowing real hard and maybe his voice squeaks a little bit. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Three times he's asked this, just like the three times he denied Jesus. And then the Lord tells him, Peter, won't end well, you know. Follow me. Paul has a similar story. He's struck down right there on the road. The voice asks, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul probably needed a change of other clothes after that. And it didn't get any easier. When he came to the other disciples, they required some convincing. Actually, a lot of convincing. Maybe Ananias was all that stood between Paul and concrete overshoes, as they say where I come from. even once Paul was accepted as a bona fide apostle, although a little late to the party, it wasn't a lot better. He's run out of town, in prison, almost tossed overboard, shipwrecked, and finally, tradition has him martyred in Rome. Both of these guys, Peter and Paul, are not the kind of success stories that the management books envision. They're not the kind of successful ministry we in the church might applaud. On the other hand, there is no one who understands but can also be tough when necessary as someone who's been there. Just ask anybody in a 12-step program. Maybe Jesus wasn't looking for good. Maybe Jesus wants willing to say I was wrong over and over again. Maybe Jesus doesn't want errors, sins, misdoings, denials, papered over. Father Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer back in 1972. He was using an archetype of Carl Jung's from Greek mythology. But he described this wounded healer as ministers that we all was. Are called to recognize the sufferings of their time in their own hearts and to make that recognition the starting point of their service. The premise is that it's through one's own suffering that one is empowered to minister to others. Pastor saints don't need to apply. Because after all, isn't that our pattern in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus? Isn't that passable mystery? To live and die on behalf of others? To be poured out as a libation like Paul? To lay down one's life, and what might actually be harder, to lay down one's pride and need to be good and right and successful in the service of the gospel? Isn't that what it means to be baptized, to put on Christ as Paul says it? Also notice that both of our heroes today didn't do it alone. Paul was only able to see, literally and also metaphorically, what he was supposed to do with the help of Ananias. And Ananias needed a little convincing. Or a lot of convincing. Lord, you know that's all guys been doing. Yeah, yeah. And Peter needed, that great big lump of guilt and denial and stuff to be removed. He needed a chance to tell Jesus he loved him. And he needed something to do. That's probably why he just up and went fishing. Nothing to do, and he couldn't really sit still about it. Jesus had died and somehow was alive again, and what the heck does that mean for the future? And Jesus comes and invites and commissions, calls Peter, calls Paul to be the church, to be Christ's representatives, to incarnate God's love in the world, just like Jesus did.